Hello there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Graham Rodway. Really excited about one of the worst Saturdays racing of the year. It really is. I mean, we've got Royal Ascot coming up and we had the Derby last week, so we can't complain. But DJ, one of the big differences between this flat season and last year, obviously we had the COVID delay. But when it resumed, it was like action all the way, wasn't it? It was great, not just great Saturdays, but great Sundays. This Saturday is not the most exciting, but before everyone switches off in their droves, have you sussed anything for us?
Yeah. I like one in particular later on in the York card. But yeah, it's funny. I don't really mind this being a kind of a low-key Saturday because, like, if this Saturday was amazing, I think the looking forward to Ascot Park is really enjoyable. Like Christmas, I love the 2 weeks before Christmas almost as much as, you know, Christmas Day or the day after. So I like the whole lead in to Ascot and, you know, don't get too carried away too early. Let's live for Tuesday.
The famine makes the feast taste sweeter or something. And we've always got football if we don't fancy the racing. But I'm hoping that you and G-Rod will be able to get us all excited about the racing. Here's what we've got coming up. 8 races on ITV4 on Saturday. 4 from York, 2 from Chester and 2 from Sandown. They are nothing if not competitive, so hopefully the boys have got some winners for us. And then we will also have a little mini Royal Ascot Forum because of that. The great meeting takes place Tuesday to Saturday next week, so we're getting very excited about that. And who knows, it might not be the classiest Saturday, but it might be a very lucrative one. Let's see what the boys fancy. We will start with the 2 o'clock at York. It's the Queen Mother's Cup, a handicap for female amateurs over a mile and a half. These are very much guide prices. 10-3 civil lots. I hate it. I've got a pet hate about 10-3. To me, it's 100-30. So apologies for that. 100-30 civil law. 7-2 Carlos Felix. 4-1 Arctic Fox. 11-2 Nicholas T. 6-1 Byron Flyer. And 9-1 Bart. As we always say on the show, do shop around not just for best prices, but also best each way terms. G-Rod, are your excitement levels rocketing?
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to a fantastic summer of sport ahead because, of course, we've got the Euros kicking off as well as Royal Ascot coming up in the week. Now, of course,
and Saturday, the US Open next week as well.
Oh, yeah, US Open. Yeah, it's all getting going now, Bruce. Of course, Saturday, racing-wise, yeah, from a quality perspective, maybe not quite up to your normal Saturdays, but there's lots of competitive handicaps, and I do like a bit in competitive handicaps. And we're starting off with this one here, the Queen Mother's Cup. I think this is the race where the winner of the gets their weight in champagne, isn't it? Or it certainly used to be the case where they would stick the rider on the scales and then they'd lump loads and loads of bottles of champagne on it. But hopefully the champagne will be going to Miss Amy Woff.
War.
I always get this one mixed up, you see, because when I was younger, I had a geography teacher and we used to have a book that was written by a guy called David War, spelled like that, W-A-U-G-H. But he actually liked to be called David Woff, I was told.
Really?
So I always used to get told off I called him War. It was David Woff. So I don't know if Amy Woff or it's Amy War. I'm sure we'll find out when she wins.
Well, we wouldn't say Bra Scott, would we? We call him Bruff, don't we? So, yeah, that's an interesting one. But anyway, you think Amy... I think it's probably War. Amy War. That would be my opinion. But we'll
okay,
see.
Yeah. Nicholas T, she's riding. And I think this one will be well suited by the step back up to a mile and a half around York. Now, their longer trips at York is one of the few tracks that suit horses who are held up. Now, with any luck, being an amateur female race, they'll go a fair pace. They do sometimes in these races, and that might suit Nicholas T. And he's got a real good turn of foot on quick ground, which he's going to get, obviously, at York. And last time over a mile and a quarter red car, he did some quite good late work. He was beaten only 3 lengths in the end, but also I quite like Good Birthday. So we're going to kick off with Nicholas T and Amy Woff.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. We're off and running. David Jennings, do you agree with G-Rod or are you going to take a conflicting view on this one?
Great to have G-Rod back, isn't it?
Great. Isn't it? Yeah.
I actually thought this was reasonably straightforward because in these type of races, one thing I've learned over the years that, like, jockeys are massive in this. Like, actually, they're not massive. They're actually really skinny and light, but they are massive in terms of importance. Like, and Gina Andrews, like, she is by far the best rider in this race. And I think she's riding the best horse, who's the best handicapped and has everything in his favour. So I think when you put all those ingredients together, I think you're coming up with the winning dish, to be honest with you, and Carlos Felix. Last time at Chester, like, stall one at Chester can be a help, but can also be a hindrance. And I thought it was a little bit of a hindrance to Carlos Felix last time at Chester, because he ended up being quite keen. And I don't think he gets beyond a mile and a half anyway. It was almost a mile and six that day, and I don't think he really stayed. It was just a bit of a mess. It was the furthest he's tried on the flat. And the time before that, I think if he repeats his previous effort at Chester, where he was second to Potenza, I think that's more than good enough. Red Derrick, who was third that day, has won since. And I just think it was stamina and stall one which counted against him last time. As I said already, best jockey in the race, best handicapped horse in the race, I think Carlos Felix will win.
Thank you. I think that DJ's trying to wind me up here. Because I'm sure that he already knows that I've run some figures on this race, and what he's talking about jockeys being absolutely crucial in this race is complete nonsense, according to the figures that I have. I mean, if you run out the last 10 years of this race, it's actually the riders with the least experience who are outperforming the more experienced riders on almost every score. I mean, they have a higher strike rate, 9% strike rate, compared to the more experienced riders having 6%. They've beaten more of their rivals home. I think 6 pound claimers are beaten to like 58% of their rivals home, whereas the ones who don't claim are only beaten about 48%. Literally every single figure in this race, in the last 10 years, points to the fact that you want to be ridden by a jockey who's claiming, or a jockey who's very inexperienced. Because I think that claim that they get, the 3 or 6 pound that they're entitled to, is actually a bigger factor than the experience of the riders themselves. But of course, it's a bit of a moot point in this race, because 7 of the 8 riders are not claimants at all. But if you do want to back, if you do want to back who's claiming, then back fly me to the stars.
Yeah, the only thing, like, I'll say, like, to be honest, like, apart from the fact that they're claiming, saying that inexperienced riders have a better record in the race, or are better than experienced riders, is bullshit, really. Because apart from the fact that they're claiming, I accept.
I'm not saying that, DJ, though, am I? What I'm saying is that there's not that much between them. So if you've got a jockey who's claiming £6, that £6 claim is actually a lot more significant than the experience.
Yeah, I understand that, but I don't think Gene Andrews has ridden in the race. And I would say Gene Andrews is the most talented rider to ride in this race in recent years, without any shadow of a doubt. And I think she's a complete level above these. Like, Gene Andrews is incredible. So I don't know. I don't know. I could be wrong.
All right, we shall see. We move on to the 235, the JCB handicap over 7 furlongs. The favourite here is also 130. It's Dazzling Dan. And then it's 4-1 Gifted Ruler, 13-2 Barshear, 7-1 Manny Gordo, 15-2 National League, 9-1 Bar. And David Jennings, what's your angling on this one?
Oh, this is tricky, Bruce. This is really tricky. The one that I've come down on just about is Barshear, because I thought at Chelmsford, he got pushed very wide at a crucial stage of the race, just off the home turn. It was it just didn't go to plan at all for Dane O'Neill that night. It was in a reasonably good position, but it just swung really wide into the home straight. I thought the previous run at Nottingham was a really good run. That was over a mile and a half of furlong, and he was quite keen there, and he actually did well to finish as close as he did. That was off a mark of 82. He's only £4 higher now, and it's interesting that they're dropping back down to 7 after that really good run at Nottingham. Like, it was 7 at Chelmsford as well, so obviously he's enough speed to cope. It was 7 when he won at Salisbury last July as well, so I think he's got the more scope for improvement than a lot of these, so Barshear, a very tentative vote.
G-Rod, are you any more confident about this one?
No, I agree with DJ. I thought this was a very, very tricky race and was happy to let this one go, Bruce.
Very responsible of you. Excellent. Right, the 305 at York is the Skybet race to the Ebor Grand Cup. over 1 mile and 6 furlongs. Just the four runners here, but again, massively competitive. McAwee, 7-4 favourite, 5-2 Ranch Hand, 5-2 Ranch Hand, 5-2 Roberto Escobar, and 4-1 Red Verdon. What do you make of this one, G-Rod? It's a tricky one to solve, isn't it? Or can you see it nice and clearly?
Yeah, very, very difficult race again because it's only four runners. Could be tactical, couldn't it? I honestly think they've all got around about the same sort of chance of winning. So you might as well bet the outsider of the four if you're going to have a bet. Red Verdon, who's ridden by Frankie, of course, who's absolutely buzzing, isn't he, this season, as always. And if it turned into a tactical race, you've got the best man on board. But I it's probably a race to watch. I think that, that any of the four could win.
Righty-ho, David Jennings?
No, I don't think any of the four can win. I think Roberto Escobar will win. Look, he's a horse I like, and it's a second run after a wind-up. Just last time at Ascot, like, the ground turned bottomless, and it Alba Flora absolutely bolted up. But I actually thought Roberto Escobar, who was quite weak in the market, didn't run too badly. I thought it was a better run than, you know, beating 16 lengths would suggest. Like, all his form previously, I think, stacks up. I thought that win in that novice race at York last year, and he obviously is returning to that track. I think that's really good form. Like, he hammered Matthew Flinders, who is a good horse. I thought this season he would be an unexposed four-year-old stayer that could potentially end up winning an Ebor or something like that. I thought that's how good I think he could be. And when I look through these, McCowie obviously is very consistent, but is a six-year-old, and you kind of know what you're going to get. Red Verdon is eight. I think, personally, that Ranch Hand is probably a little bit slow for this. So Roberto Escobar, to me, is the one potential improver who could blow this race wide open, and I'll be disappointed if he doesn't win.
Jolly good. Lastly, at York, is the 340, the Pavers Foundation Catherine Memorial Sprint Handicap over 6 furlongs. Tons of runners. Let's see how many we've got. 17. So you should get some extra places, and it's 6-1 the field, and that brings in First Folio, Sky Runner, Dark Shift, 13-2 Show Along, 13-2 Jadwell, 7-1 Aikido, and then it's 11-1 Blind Beggar and 14-1 Bar. David Jennings, what do we do with this one?
Dark Shift, Bruce. I think Dark Shift as well, handicapped off 88, only had the 3 runs, could easily be unbeaten actually. Actually started his career with Eve Johnson Houghton, but beat Twilight Calls first time out, and then, you know, for a long way it looked like he was going to win at Salisbury, and then just being keen in the early stages just proved his undoing. But I thought it was a real snug winner at Nottingham on his reappearance. Was entitled to do what he did. He was 4-7, and you know, he should have won the way he did, but he just strikes me as a sprinter that's going places. And 88, like, would it surprise me if he was running stakes sprints at the end of the season? Absolutely not. He'd want to be very competitive here off 88.
Very confident selection there. Dark Shift for David Jennings. Who for Graham Rodway?
Well, the figures tell you that you absolutely have to be drawn in single figures here, and the lower the better. But nevertheless, I'm going to tip Uncle Jumbo, who's coming from stall 12, because I don't always put complete faith in the figures. I mean, just because
you if you look at the last 5 years, G-Rod, 3-5-1-2-7. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But then before that, 12-14-4-18. So, who knows?
Yeah, you know, it is an advantage, but just because you're drawn in stall 12 don't mean you cannot win, of course. And Uncle Jumbo is quite a fast horse, and I think that he went too fast at Chester a couple of starts ago when he was beaten into 30. He was a hot favourite that day, and he had previously run at Pontefract where he got beaten by a horse who's running in this race, Bickerstaff, when he again was a beaten favourite. But I don't think Pontefract is really his track. I mean, that is the stiffest finish in Britain, and he's a real speedy horse, Uncle Jumbo. And again, last time out at Leicester, that's a fairly stiff track. Now, going to York, this is a proper speedy 5 furlongs. He'll be allowed to blast away up front here, and Kevin Ryan's fitting cheek pieces for the first time. I reckon this track might suit him because he's a real speedy horse, Uncle Jumbo.
It's six furlongs. This race is 6 furlongs, Rodders.
Yeah, what did I say?
Five.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, sorry, six.
All right.
Okay, that's all right. Jolly good. Right then, we're all done at York. Let's do Chester and Sandown next.
With Members Club Ultimate, you'll get unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive Royal Ascot tips from the likes of Tom Segal and Paul Keighley, plus much more, including access to our award-winning journalism, video replays for UK and Ireland, and our horse tracker. Use code ASCOT21, that's ASCOT21, to get 50% off for your first 3 months.
Welcome back to the second part of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington in the company of two superb judges in David Jennings and Graham Rodway. We've done York. Let's do the other four ITV4 races on Saturday, starting with the 140 at Chester. The Racing Welfare supporting Racing's workforce handicap over five furlongs. Rebel at Dawn is the 7-4 favourite. And then we've got Have a Go Mecca at 11-4, 7-2 Virginia Plains, 7-2 Lost My Sock, and 11-1 Eye of Heaven. Just the five runners, and who will pass the line in front? Graham Rodway.
I just thought it was worth taking a chance on the complete outside of the field here, Bruce. Eye of Heaven. We've got Franny Norton up, obviously Mark Johnston, so going to be nice and prominent around Chester. Nobody rides a track better than Franny, and the horse's obviously got form on good to firm ground because he won first time up at Newmarket on a quick surface, done most of his racing since on a slower surface, though did run absolutely appallingly last time out at Bath. But we've all seen this before from Mark Johnston runners, haven't we? Beaten 26 length, then suddenly bang, back to form. And I'm hoping that Eye of Heaven can dominate here. He's not got bad draw, only a small field, of course, but he's in store for. I think he might be able to get across the lead to a merry dance, as they say.
Okay. That would be interesting if Eye of Heaven wins about 10 minutes before Wales fans sing Bread of Heaven before their first Euro game, which takes place at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Now, I've got to say this, DJ, by the way. There is no better anthem than Bread of Heaven. Does it get you when it's belted out by those Welsh fans?
This is like, you're after speaking like, you know, Swahili to me there for the last couple of seconds. I have no idea what you're talking about. Is that what it's called? National anthem?
Bread of Heaven.
Bread of Heaven,
feed me now and evermore. Come on, you must know it.
You can actually sing, can you?
Do you not know that song?
No, I actually do like the Welsh National Anthem, but I never really knew what they were singing, to be honest. that's it. I'm fairly impressed with your voice, I have to say.
How about that? Anyway, who wins?
Eye of Heaven is obviously interesting. Don't forget, this is the same Eye of Heaven that started 7-4 favour for the Norfolk last year, and we all thought was an absolute superstar after it won first time out at Newmarket. Things obviously went badly astray afterwards, and it was just, I like Rodders, I would love to tip Eye of Heaven because it's such a big price and you're going back to that early form and you're going, my God, how is this horse double figure price? But it was just so bad at Bath. Like, it was so bad. I just can't, and I'm the forgiven type, I can't. So I'm just going to play it simple with Rebel at Dawn. I thought that was quite a strong race at Nottingham that Rebel at Dawn won. The third, Crimson Sand, I think is still a well-handicapped sprinter, and I think he'll win next time out, Crimson Sand. Things didn't go his way there. But Rebel at Dawn, for me, is the most straightforward of these, I think, and I think he'll probably win.
Right, you are at 3:20. Chester stages the National Horse Race Week.UK handicap over a mile and four furlongs. Classic Lord heads the betting at 7-2, along with Military Two-Step, and then it's Love is Golden at 5-1. Also 5-1, Man of Riddles. This is like Noah's Ark, 2x2. We've got 2 6-1 shots, Side Shot and Oh Man. And then at 7-1, The Outsider, again, trained by Mark Johnson, is Glenn again. So who do you fancy, David?
I fancy Classic Lord. I think Andrew Balding has a team in good form. And I think with Classic Lord, there's been a couple of little blips along the way. And was only fourth at Chester, actually, two starts ago. But I thought last time at Haydock, again, I thought it was a decent race. Like, Old Man was in there. Old Man was actually sent off favourite that day. But Classic Lord, like, was held up out the back. And then I just liked the way he finished out his race. I thought this was a horse that was really improving with every start. And was a decent enough two-year-old last season. It won a Goodwood and won a Pontefract. And off 84. So it's got up six for winning last time at Haydock. But I thought it was reasonably snug at the line. I thought it was a strong race. this looked a good place to come. I thought there was plenty of positives for Classic Lord. He's a decent price, and I think he's a little bit of value.
Right, you are. Who do you like, G-Rod?
Man of Riddles. This one is a half-brother to Big Brown, who, of course, won the Kentucky Derby amongst a bunch of races in the US. So the pedigree is great. And David Simcock ran this horse in that listed race at Goodwood last time, the Cocked Hat Stakes, and it was beaten an absolute mile. But just the fact that he ran it there was almost like a little bit of a tip, because he runs a lot. He's run a lot of his best horses in that race recently. David Simcock, he certainly ran that Spanish Mission, is it? He ran that in it, and he had another good one, and he won something. We won it with some other slow boat thing that was all right. And Man of Riddles was beaten a mile, but I just wonder if Soft Ground was the undoing of him that day. Obviously, Big Brown won on firm ground, I think, in the US. And I think you might see a better horse here for a Man of Riddles in the 320.
Thank you very much. Let's move across to Sandown for the 215, the Coral, beaten a length, free bet, Scurry Stakes, a listed race over that weird 5 furlong track at Sandown that takes place so far away from where everyone can see it. Marco Botti has the favourite, 6-4 shot, Atalis Bay. It's 11-2 Warrior Brave, 6-1 Steel Bull, 13-2 Queen's Carriage, 7-1 First Edition, 17-2 Bar. Steel Bull, remember that one from last year, DJ? We got all excited about that, didn't we, at one point?
Yeah, he looked a star when he won first time out at Nace, and then was sent off favourite and won quite impressively the Malcolm at Goodwood, but just didn't go according to plan afterwards. But this, I'm still dining out on tipping the winner of this race in 2017. 11-1 winner in 2017. Anybody know the name?
Batash. Really? Wow. Yeah.
Batash, I tipped this. I think I napped it on this very podcast.
You discovered Batash?
Well, I didn't discover him. I just thought he was really quick. I thought he was one of these sprinters that... And it was funny because the day he won at Bath, he was 14-1 first time out. And I remember watching the race with one of my mates, and I go, that is an absolute incredible performance. That's an aeroplane. And then he ran shite about three times after that. And I was like, I obviously got this horse completely wrong. And then he came out and won the Scurry, and I was proved right. So it's hard to believe only 4 years ago, Batash won this race at 11-1. But anyway, I don't think there's any Batashes in here. And I think Atalis Bay will win. It's boring, but I think that run behind Winter Power, where he absolutely obliterated the rest of them. Like, he was 5 lengths clear of Dexter Bell. So if Winter Power wasn't in that listed race at York, like, it would have been a seriously impressive performance from Atalis Bay. And, you know, his form is quite strong from last year as well. He beat Blind Beggar one day at Haydock. Now, he's come quite a long way in a short space of time. But, yeah, I think he's going to be hard to beat here with Andrea Atzeni up.
Graham, are you going to row in with the favourite, whatever that means?
No, I'm not going to. No, yeah, it's been a good race, hasn't it, over recent years. Batash, obviously, and Margot did win it in 2011. That another Group 1 winner. And, of course, last year was won by that horse, Lazuli, that I really like. Now, one I like in this is First Edition for Clive Cox. And he's fitting tongue-tied blinkers. Now, this one was beaten by Nelson Gay over the same course and distance last time out. But... it just went far too fast in front, First Edition. And had absolutely zero chance of keeping up that galloper. I'm hoping that we'll get a bit more of a considered ride here from Kirby, who, of course, is flying high after his Derby victory. And it's drawn in stall one. Now, a lot of people obviously been making a big deal about, oh, well, stall one's not what it was at Sandown. It's really strange there. At the latest meeting in the National Stakes over 5 furlongs there, where actually everyone shunned the row and then suddenly decided that the row was actually a disadvantage. So they all come off of it. And of course, the winner just screened up the far side row with a beautiful path through it. I mean, there's no way that one is a disadvantage. It may well not be the advantage that it once was, but it's not a disadvantage. And I think First Edition, with a better, more considered ride, could make all here under Kirby.
It was good to see Adam Kirby win the Derby, wasn't it, G-Rod? Did that warm the cockles of your heart?
Oh, yeah, absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? And a good ride as well, because he obviously was drawn in the coffin box, of course, in stall one. Keely texted me on the Wednesday of that, and he said to me, oh, G-Rod, can you run me out some figures for stall one at Epsom? And I think only two horses had won 1 mile, 4 furlong races, plus over with 10 runners or more, and since 1997, and there hadn't been a winner since Oath in the 1999 Derby. But he got that horse in an absolute super position, as they are. And it was great to see a jockey like Kirby, who given so much to the game, not only during the summer months, but in the winter months, have a big day in the sun, wasn't it?
It really was. Is that what happens then? You're basically just Kiel's his stat man now, are you? Don't you just turn to piss off and do his own research?
Yeah, I'm everyone's stat man now. Whenever anyone wants to know anything, they just text me. I think I've taken James Pyman's place.
Blimey. Okay. Right then, what have we got next? We've got the 250 at Sandown. It's the Play Coral Racing Super Series for free handicap over a mile. The favourite at 130 is Latest Generation. And then it's 7-2 King's Knight, 6-1 Dogged, 13-2 Buxted 2, 15-2 Trefleur, and 9-1 Bar. David Jennings, away you go. Who wins this?
I think you have to give Latest Generation another chance. Like, it was a mess against Hurricane Lane at Newbury. Just a complete mess. Too keen, you know, trying to do too much too early and got all flustered, then got into a challenging position and just got tired then. Interesting, back over a mile now. Like, Hurricane Lane won the race. Maximal was second. Tasman Bay was third. River Alwyn was fourth. It was a hell of a race, that race. And on the face of it, you'd say he was very disappointing. He was beaten 11 lengths, but he just did so much wrong in the race. His form from last year is quite strong. Again, you know, he was, even the day he won at Doncaster when he won his maiden, he was quite keen. So it'll be interesting to see what James Doyle does here. He's drawn in stall two. Does, back over a mile, does he be really positive here? And, you know, try and make the run in the Latest Generation, which I think he will do. And I think he probably has enough in hand off 93 to be a little bit keen through the first 2 furlongs of the race. But he can't absolutely pull his head off. So I think if he settles reasonably well from stall two and makes the run, I think Latest Generation will win.
Cheers, DJ. Graham Rodway, who's your selection going to be here?
I like Buxted 2. This one was second at over the course earlier in the year behind Namoose. And last time out, again, was up with a pace, quite a strong pace, and ended up fading quite badly, being beaten 11 lengths. But it was one of those soft ground Sandown races where they're all coming out and, you know, all over the track, and it just gets messy. I think that better ground will suit Buxted too. This is definitely his track, and he's got a big race like this in him.
Thank you very much. That's the TV action all done and dusted. Let's do the rest of Saturday, and we'll also look ahead to Royal Ascot next.
With Members Club Ultimate, you'll get unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive Royal Ascot tips from the likes of Tom Segal and Paul Keeley, plus much more, including access to our award-winning journalism, video replays for UK and Ireland, and our horse tracker. Use code ASCOT21, that's ASCOT21, to get 50% off for your first 3 months.
Right then, we've done the TV stuff. Let's see what else the boys fancy. We've got the rest of the Sandown, the rest of Chester, the rest of York. They are also racing on Saturday at Hexham and Bath, as well as Leicester and Worcester in the evening. And in Ireland, we've got Downpatrick and we've got Limerick. So, G-Rod, what have you got for us? Don't give your nap away.
Yeah, I've got a couple for you. They're both trained by Richard Hannan. And the first one is Escobedo, who runs in the 325 at Sandown under one of our favourite jockeys, Four Hammer Hansen. He's got a great name and he's good value for his £3 claim. Escobedo shaped very nicely last time out at Windsor. His second run in a handicap, but his first one in a handicap on turf. And I think he can build on that. That's Escobedo in the 325 at Sandown. And in the
he's 4, roughly 6-1, just in case anyone
six to one.
Wondering.
That's a nice price, yeah. Okay. And the 4:15 at York, we're going a Bosch for Richard Hannan and Tom Marquand this time. Again, made quite a promising debut at Salisbury. When staying on quite nicely, he finished second in a 5 furlong novice race there. The other day, Pat Cox was on the TV. He obviously rides with Richard Hannon a lot, and he said the one thing you guarantee about Hannon-trained two-year-olds is they improve with every single run that they have. So if Bosch can improve on his debut, I think he'll be more than good enough to win the 4.15 at York. And that's my two.
That's a brilliant name for a racehorse, that, isn't it? Bosch. Excellent. DJ, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've three, but one of them is my nap. So I'll give you the two that aren't. In the 1.05 at Sandown, Run to Freedom for Henry Candy and David Probert. This beat Highland Avenue, despite being keen when we saw him last at Kempton. And before that, I thought it was a real eye-catching run at Kempton as well. So I think Run to Freedom will win the opener at Sandown, the 1.05. And in the final race at Chester, Mary Knight is extremely well handicapped off 80. One off 76 at Chelmsford under a positive ride from Jamie Spencer last time. Just needed to get his confidence back. They thought the world of this horse. I actually really fancied this horse at Royal Ascot last year. They thought the world of him. He's tumbled down the weights. One off 76, only back up to 80. Drawn and stalled four at Chester. Positive ride, Jamie Spencer, Mary Knight, 4.30 Chester.
Okay, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Graham Rodway.
It's Nicholas T in the 2 o'clock at York under Amy Woff.
Thank you. Cheers, G-Rod. And David Jennings.
Oh, mine is quite a strong fancy. It's in the 5.15 at Limerick, Bruce. It's a horse called Protagonist for Jessica Harrington and Shane Foley. This, to me, is a miler that's going to win a really, really big mile handicap this year. It's down to a mark of 87. And if anybody got to see his last run at Nace, it was after a little break. I just thought he was really eye-catching. Like, wasn't given a hard time by Shane Foley. Wasn't beaten far in the end behind Pepperoni Pete. And it's just warming, coming up to the boil nicely, Protagonist. Used to be with Jamie Osborne, owned by Michael Buckley. This is a miler going places, I'm convinced of it. And if he can't win this race off 87, I've got the horse completely wrong.
Lovely stuff. Right then, Royal Ascot starts on Tuesday. Five fabulous days of action. And I'll tell you what, lads, my return to the race course. The last time I went racing was the Wednesday of Cheltenham last year. It's been far too long. In order to go there, I've got to put various things that have arrived through the post up my nose and down my throat, but it'll be worth it. It'll be even worth it wearing that horrible top hat on a boiling hot day. Can't wait to go racing again, and I need you guys to arm me, as I'm sure the listeners do, with some winners. So we'll start off with your banker of the week. What are you going to go for, Graham Rodway?
Yeah, my banker of the week is in the Duke of Cambridge, Lady Beaufort. I just think that this is the sort of horse who is always going to be underestimated because she's trained by William Jarvis and not one of the big boys. But of course, she is improving rapidly. She beat Queen Power, who's going to be one of her main dangers in the Dahlia Stakes at Newmarket on quick ground first time up, and then ran a huge career best when only a length and a half behind Palace Pier in the Lockinge with Fresh Air back to the rest in proper Group 1 race. This is a Group 2 against her own sex. She should be a short price favourite, but I don't think she will be because I'm fairly certain that a few people try and have a crack at her because of who she's trained by. But she handles quick ground. She's improving rapidly. If you think Palace Pier will win the first, which a lot of people do, then you've got to be thinking Lady Beaufort will be far too good for this lot in the Duke of Cambridge. That's 3.40 on Wednesday.
Thank you very much. And David Jennings, what's your banker?
Mine is late in the day. It's in the Diamond Jubilee on Saturday. I just think Dream of Dreams will win. He was second in the race last year to Hello Hume Zane. And I know there's been a lot of talk about Starman, but, you know, Starman is unexposed and you probably don't know how good he is. But Dream of Dreams sets a really, really strong level of form here. You can point to the fact that he's getting on a bit. He's seven. But, like, there was nothing from his Windsor run to suggest he was getting any worse. I know it was only a three-runner listed race, but he won it very easily in the end. You know, you just go back to the even like storming home to be beaten by Blue Point ahead in the race. So he's been beaten ahead in the race for the last 2 years in a row in what I think were much better renewals of the race. I don't think it's as good this year. And I just think Dream of Dreams is absolutely rock solid. This would be his main aim for the whole season.
Lovely stuff. And what about a long shot, a horse at a decent price to give us a few quid, hopefully? G-Rod, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got a couple, actually. A couple of two-year-olds who I think are well worth looking out for. The problem is I don't know exactly which races they're going for, but Superior Force is certainly very interesting for George Bowie, who has made a fantastic start to his training career. It's a huge price for the Coventry Stakes currently, around about 40-1 chance. Also in the Windsor Castle on the Wednesday, and probably we'll get a few other entries as well. But you know, when this horse won at Salisbury first time out, it was very, very impressive and sent off a short price at 6-4. Did the business nicely. And I just don't think things panned out correctly for him last time at Newbury when he was turned over as favourite. He was under a penalty anyway, and I think he's better than he showed that day. And the other one, probably the most exciting two-year-old that I've seen all season, is called Armour. He's trained by Richard Hannon. Went off 11-10 favourite first time out. Donny, when Hannon's virtually always need their first run. So the fact this horse went off so short tells you a lot about what he was showing him at home. And he just looked really, really fast when winning that Doncaster Maiden comfortably. And I see Ryan Moore's already jocked up on him for the Windsor Castle on Wednesday. So I reckon that might be the target for him, with Ryan already up in that race, the 5:35 on Wednesday. But he is also in the Norfolk on Thursday, 2:30. So they're the two two-year-olds to look out for me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Stuart. I will make a note of them. DJ, have you got one at a decent price for us?
I have got one for you, Bruce. It is in the Royal Hunt Cup, which is the 5 o'clock on Wednesday, and it's trained by my local trainer, Noel Mead, would you believe? He's had a Group 1 winner recently, and I think he's going to have a Royal Ascot winner, because Lafayette, like, this horse is well handicapped, make no mistake about it. Two starts ago at the Curragh over a mile and a handicap, he beat a horse called Maker of Kings, who has since won the Group 3 Amethyst quite impressively at Leopardstown. And Lafayette last time on Irish Guineas weekend at the Curragh, I thought was a real eye catcher. Bit unlucky, went for kind of two different gaps that didn't really appear. Now, it wasn't extremely unlucky, just a little bit unlucky, but I often think in those races, you need everything to go your way. Stayed on into fourth, only beaten two lengths by Visualization. That was off 96, runs off the same mark here. I spoke to Noel, he's on course for the race. He's 20-1. He's the type of horse that could go off 10s. I think he'll run really well. Lafayette.
Is Noel Mead a nice trainer to ring up to get a quote from? He seems a nice fella.
Yeah, like when I started off, so he's in County Meath, obviously, he's beside Navan. So when I started off, like as a 16 or 17 year old in the local paper, because I was mad into racing, I used to ring him all the time for stuff. And he was great for me. Like, he'd bring me out to the yard and show me around and all that kind of stuff. So,
and since he's got to know you, he just says, "I'll piss off, DJ."
Yeah, he has me saved as "don't answer that" in his phone.
I bet that's not the case at all, my friend. Okay, lovely stuff. That's brilliant. Before you go, chaps, quick line on the Euros. Give us a winner of the Euros, DJ.
Oh, I'm mad at Germany.
Oh, that's swimming against the tide.
Yeah, I just think it's Joaquin. Is that how you pronounce his first name? Joaquin. It's his last.
Who are you talking about? If you mean the Spanish footballer Joaquin, you've got it right.
What's Lowe's first name?
Well, everyone calls him Yorgi, don't they, I think.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Joaquin Lowe. Okay, I get that completely wrong. Well, it's his last tournament, and I just think it could be written in the stars.
What do you mean written in the stars? What century is this?
Yeah, do you know what? That's something that if somebody else said, I'd give out to them for saying it.
What are you doing written in the stars?
It's absolute bullshit. Listen, I was brought on here to talk about racing, not football. I think Germany win the Euros.
All right, who do you fancy, G-Rod?
He's coming home, Bruce. No, I think we can do it. What do you think?
I knew you'd say that. God. Why?
Well, I every time there's a big tournament, I always think it's coming home. And it's just got to the point now where I just think every time that we're going to win. And one year, I have to be right, surely. I mean, I've been doing this for about 30 years now and it's still not happened. But surely I can't go another 30 years without us winning one major tournament, can we?
Well, I don't know. How does it work in Ireland with England, DJ? Will everybody be absolutely desperate for them to fall flat on their faces?
Yeah, they kind of are. But, like, I'd be hated for this. And, like, I know my colleague Justin O'Hanlon would, like, rather take off his own arm rather than England win the Euros. I would absolutely love to see England win the Euros. Like, you know all the players inside out. You're watching them every week. And I know, like, it will be unbearable, all the media attention and everybody gloating. But I would far prefer to see England winning the Euros than like Germany or France or something. Like, why not? I don't know. I just don't get it. I do get it. And there's a whole history involved. I get it. But I would love to see England win the Euros, and I'd get ridiculed for saying that.
Well, good on you, DJ. You're a nice fella, and yeah, that speaks lot for you, my friend. So well done.
Who's going to win it, Bruce?
Who's going to win? Oh, France, massive price. So I know they're favourites, but they're way too big. They're just too
I'll tell you now, Bruce, I don't think they'll qualify from their group.
Well, you may be right.
I think Germany and Portugal will qualify from that group.
There was a very interesting piece in the... Well, three teams could qualify, of course, but there was interesting piece in the in Racing Post, in the Euro pullout today. And don't forget, the Racing Post has fantastic European Championship coverage every day. From Kevin Pulleen, who you know how much I love Kevin Pulleen. And he said that there's a proven direct relationship between confidence in terms of predictions and accuracy of those predictions. And it goes against what people would say. The more confident you are that you're right, the less likely you are to be right. The more you're riddled with doubt, the more likely you are to be right. And I think it's something that... Pardon?
How does he prove that?
Well, it's just, don't know, financial forecasts or something. But anyway, read Pulleen's piece. It's free to read on racingpost.com. He is absolutely different class, Kevin. He's a profitable tipster for the last 25 years. He's just a superb writer. He's just a brilliant analyst. He's a humble guy and he's very successful. And if he says something's right, then it's right.
I must admit, Bruce, that does sound like it could be the most fascinating article in the paper all year. So I'm off to read it.
Yeah, you should read that, chaps. Listen, enjoy the racing tomorrow. Good luck with your tips. Enjoy Royal Ascot. We're back next Friday. Maddie's back on Monday, where there'll be loads more Royal Ascot tips. So keep it here for more great racing podcasts.